Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
It is essential, and it is not optional. And if you are a follower of Jesus, what I'm about to share with you is absolutely essential and not optional. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus and listening to this message or watching it, and you are a good person, then you'll probably also think it's essential and not optional. But I want to just be clear here that if you follow Jesus, if you claim Him as your Lord and Savior, then what we're talking about over the last few weeks is not optional and is essential for you. Now, you hopefully have an idea of what that is if you've been tracking with us, but just in case, this thing that is essential and not optional, if you're a follower of Jesus, is helping people in need find peace. Now, as we've been talking about for the last couple weeks, what we mean here is not some kind of like inner peace or nirvana or something like that. What we mean is a peace that God gives and the peace that God wants for us, which is in the Hebrew with the word shalom, which is not just an inner peace, but it's a peace among people and a peace which shows that everybody has what they need to survive. And as we've been talking about, what we want to do for ourselves and for others is to help people find that kind of peace. We've been using a text from Jeremiah to help us understand this, which is from the Old Testament, one of the prophets, not predicting the future, but just calling people to better kind of living, that says we want to seek the welfare of the city. Now, back in the day, they would have thought of this as just the place they lived. For us, where we are as Park Ridge Presbyterian Church, we want to seek the welfare of the cities we live in, but we also must think about the welfare of the people who live in the city of Chicago and the surrounding area, because we know there are people who have great needs in our area. Now, like I said before, if you're a follower of Jesus, this is not optional. This is essential. And if you're a good person, I know you want to find your ways into doing more for other people. But you might be wondering to yourself, how can I be making such a broad and definite claim that this is essential to our faith, that this is a part of the journey? Well, for beginning, it starts at the very beginning of the core of our faith journey. Now remember, as followers of Jesus, as Christians, we're building our faith off of the faith of the Israelites, the Jewish faith, that tradition. And it comes from the very beginning there as well. And actually, in the ancient world, the Hebrew people, the Jews, were known for being people who took care of people in need. And they would do it in a very specific way that really helps us understand a little further, I think, about how we're called to do this. Now, we need to remember that the Jewish people, the Israelites, were primarily a farming and livestock community. Agrarian is the way we say that, right? And what that means is that there were a few artisans, there would have been a few leaders that didn't do this kind of stuff, but most of the people were living just trying to make their life and survive. They had a farm-to-table life that wasn't a luxury, but that was a way of living. And if you did it right, you survived. And if you didn't, you were in great need. And the command, the calling that God gave to the people then was to make sure that they left some food around for people who were in need. And in one of the Old Testament books of the law, the Torah, the book of Leviticus, it's a command specifically to do this, to don't reap the corners of your field or gather the gleanings, leave them for the poor and the foreigners. Now, this specifically is talking about the call to action to not collect every single thing you plant in your harvest, that the corners of the field are to be left unharvested. And if you drop anything along the way in your field, you should leave it behind and let people pick it up as needed. Now, this is a very important teaching that helps us understand that this is the way the people of Israel lived. There's a very famous story, and I know I've shared some of this before, but there's a very famous story in the book of Ruth, the story of Ruth. And Ruth meets her husband Boaz because she was gleaning from the edges of the field. She was going to the corner. She was poor and in need. And she collected the food she needed for there because that's the way they provided for people. But wasn't just Ruth. There was another very important person to us who also had an instance where they collected food from the edges of a field. And that was Jesus. We sometimes, I think, forget that Jesus was poor. I think we might forget that Jesus depended on the generosity of strangers to help him survive. Now, could Jesus have done whatever Jesus wanted? Yeah, of course, but he didn't. Instead, he lived as the person that he was from the day he was, a first century poor Palestinian Jew. The story of his birth is littered with examples of how he came from a poor family. But then there are times where he and his followers, the disciples, collected food from this way of living. There's one story in particular where we hear them walking along the side of a road, and they are collecting grains, either to eat directly or perhaps prepare later. But either way, what are they doing? They're collecting the leftovers from the corners of the fields so they could have something to eat because they were poor, and some of them might have been foreigners even. Now, this helps us understand that Jesus and his disciples were in need of help and in need of support at different times. Now, that story is really interesting also because they get in trouble for what they're doing because they collected the grains on the Sabbath, and the religious leaders didn't like that. It's also, I can't say this enough, it's interesting how Jesus was on the right side of things, but was upsetting the religious and political leaders of his day all the time. But the point that I'm trying to draw out for us is that this kind of generosity, this kind of giving of ourselves so that people would have a sense of the way in which they were meeting the needs of people, helping people find shalom, finding peace, is central to our faith. It's central to what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Now, I realize I've given to you two examples, one from the Old Testament and one from the life of Jesus, and hopefully the one from the life of Jesus matters to you, but you might be saying to yourself, well, that Old Testament stuff, that's not for us. We're Christians, and I got to say, there's something wholly wrong with that, but that's another message for another time. But just in case you're like, well, maybe I'm off the hook because that was for the Jewish people, let me tell you that what Jesus says is for all of us. When you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. Jesus is very clear about the desire and the need of our hearts to make sure that we are doing for those who are in need. Now, this didn't stop with Jesus. It continued with the early church, our first generation of the early church. They did this too. They distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. So, like, what I'm saying here is that our Jewish ancestors did it, Jesus did it, and the first round of Christians did it. And if it was good enough for all of them, it's still good enough for us, and it is central to our faith. Now, when we think about this and when we understand what this call is to seek the welfare of the city, seek the peace of people who are in need, we want to make sure that we are clear on how we can do this. Now, I'm going to share some very specific invitations to you, and I hope and I pray that you are not going to hear these and act out of a motivation of feeling guilty. I don't want you to do anything based on guilt. I do hope that perhaps you might feel inspired or get clarity on what might be a next step for you in seeking the welfare of the people who are in need. And there's three specific ways that we can do this and we can help those in need. And they are centered around the fact that we already have partnerships with people who are doing this work, that we have experts who are leading the way and helping those in need, whether those who are in chronic situations, those who are in brand new situations, those who are struggling because they're migrants or because they're refugees, whatever it is, all these people, we have partners, our mission partners, that are doing work directly and with vetting and reputations that can go before us so that we know we can be in good conscience working with them. So there's three things we can do as we seek to partner with these people. The first thing that we can do is we can give financially. We are, most of us, people of great means. Most of us have plenty, most of us have extra, most of us would be in the equivalent spot of not needing to harvest all of our goods, all of our crop, and leaving some in the corners. And so we want to give financially, individually, as families, to our mission partners. I hope you will do that. This year, we're promoting specifically the work of Casa Central as one of our mission partners, as our priority partner for 2024, and I hope you'll consider that. I really do also hope that you'll consider giving to the One Great Hour of Sharing offering, which is a part of meeting the needs across the world. I can guarantee you, and I've heard other preachers say this, that you will not miss the money you give to a mission partner. You won't regret the money you give to a mission partner. Now, maybe you'll wonder if I should have done that, but you'll never regret it. And I all know that we will give in a way that is sustainable for us. So maybe that sounds like a big step. So maybe we can break it down just another little bit. I want you to think about giving just one small gift right now. Just do it the next chance you get. Give to somebody who is doing good work. $25, $50, just one time. Do it now, and then you have done a little bit. And that'll get you started. Later on, I've heard other people say this too, you wanna make a plan to support our mission partners also. And that can get us the next step. Another thing we have going on with our mission partners is an opportunity to serve hands-on. All of our mission partners have opportunities for you to help do the actual work that is part of their mission. All of our food partners, all of our service partners, all of our people doing housing crisis intervention, there are chances to serve hands-on with these people. All you gotta do is go to their websites and find out the opportunities to serve. If you need help with that, contact Pastor Amanda and she'll help you understand what's going on. And all of us can take our turn doing these things as well. So we can serve hands-on and help them find peace, help them find their need to survive. And the last one that I want to encourage us to think about is to give your expertise to our mission partners. Give your expertise to them. Now, many of us, some of us are already doing this, and I want to encourage and hope that people continue this. But there are many of us who have skills, ability, professional backgrounds that are in desperate need from our mission partners. And if you can find your way to volunteering with them, you can help them do their work even better. Maybe you're in a spot where you can't serve hands-on because you're raising a family. Maybe you've got a medical condition or a back issue. I don't know what it is, but you know what you can do is you can lend your expertise to the organizations. They need help running their organizations just as they need help doing the work that they're setting out to do. Now, I want to also acknowledge that our church does need people doing these kinds of things as well in our daily work here. And I want to say thank you to everybody who contributes to help us do our work well. But I also want to make sure that I'm being very clear here that there are kind of two groups of people I'm thinking about as I've shared today. The first is there's a group of people who are really already doing all this good work. There's a group of people who, if you are serving, if you're giving, if you're sharing your expertise already, I want you to know that you are doing great things. And please just keep doing what you're doing. But there's also a group of us who probably could do more. For some, it's gonna be doing a little bit for the first time. For some, it's gonna be stepping it up to the next level of whatever that looks like. But if you're someone who is sitting on the sideline wondering if you are helping people seek the welfare to seek peace for those who are in need, then I'm encouraging you to take a long look at your life and ask yourself, what's the next step I can take to help somebody have a better sense of peace in their lives? Who's the mission partner that I need to find more out about? Now, if you're not sure who that is, you can go to our website, you can go to parkridgepresby.org/serve, and you will find out all the information you need to get connected to some of these partners, okay? But what I also want you to think about is if you don't know where you are being called to serve, I want you to ask that question that I've heard another preacher talk about, which is asking that question, what breaks your heart? It's a great question. It's Pastor Andy Stanley's question. And when you answer that question, what breaks your heart, you will know where God is calling you to serve. If you've watched the news, scrolled through the news, read the news, however you've taken the news, and you've had a sense of one of those situations that has just broken your heart, that's the need you can meet. If you have one of those stories that just has stuck in your mind and you're like, I can't forget this. I can't get it out of my mind, no matter how hard I try. That's probably the place where you're being called to serve. So I want to encourage you to listen to that. Not the guilt, not the woulda, coulda, shouldas, but listen to that part of it which is God speaking to you. That inspiration from the Holy Spirit is guiding you to that choice. And I want you to ask yourself, what's that next step that I can take? and then take it. And then you can rest assured that you are doing everything that God wants you to do. You can do a little bit, you can do a lot, but we all can seek peace for people in need. If you're following Jesus, it's not optional. If you're thinking about it, following Jesus, know it's a part of it. But all of us can really do this. God knows that we can. God knows that we should. And God is really hoping that we will seek the welfare of the city. So let's be people who seek the peace for people who are in need.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.